This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 1st, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story by Tom Thompson of JLN. CBD prices languish as KSU studies using hemp in feed. It has been quiet lately in hemp country, which, since the 2018 Farm Act, of course, includes all 50 states. In fact, industrial hemp plantings were reported to the USDA's Farm Service Agency by farmers in 48 states in 2020. Alaska and Mississippi didn't come to the party. Panax's January 2021 hemp benchmarks and analysis data show that prices for hemp at various stages of processing for CBD continue to soften, while both conventional and organic hemp grain prices rose 10% and 2% respectively over the month as consumers pay the market for storage as they would with other grain crops. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. John J. Lothian and Company applied for a second draw in the PPP program under the CARES Act and was approved for the funds. They arrived in our bank account this morning. Thank you to Congress and for this support of small businesses like ours. The bank JJL Co. uses is U.S. Bank. They provided an easy-to-use process to apply for and receive the forgivable loan. Thank you also to our Head of Administration and Finance, Nancy Ashburn, who has been keeping on top of the latest nuances of the PPP program for us and her other clients. In support of U.S. Bank's effort, I have placed an order in my IRA account to buy some U.S. Bank shares. This is something that I've been looking to do for some time. We've had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. We've had 119 donations so far and are just short of 10% of our $300,000 goal. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. The spread, game over, our weekly look at the options business. This week, one company's stocks skyrocketed due to the coordinated trading of retail investors. And for once, I'm not talking about Tesla. Momentum trading is when investors buy stocks whose prices are actively rising and sell them when they think the stocks have peaked. This happened with Tesla stock more often than not last year. The most recent case of runaway momentum trading is GameStop, a large entertainment retailer that makes most of its money selling used video games and pre-orders for upcoming games. This week's users in investment communities on Reddit, like Wall Street Bets, bought shares and tons of options on struggling companies like GameStop, causing GameStop's stock value to skyrocket and post year-to-date gains exceeding more than 1,700%. This resulted in market volatility that caused major losses across the board for a lot of hedge funds who had been short sellers of the stocks. To watch this The Spread video, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. NASDAQ tech chief credits cloud with helping manage market frenzies. Cloud-based computing capacity helps the exchange quickly adjust to wild market swings. NASDAQ Inc.'s enterprise technology leader said an aggressive cloud strategy that proved its mettle during the pandemic helped gird the exchange's operating systems for shocks like this week's market turmoil. Brad Peterson, the exchange's operators executive vice president and chief technology and information officer, said the company used prior peaks in trading activity as benchmarks to ensure it had enough computing capacity in its own data centers to handle sharp swings in demand. My comment, I love it when a plan comes together. Here's a story from the Financial Times. This is an editorial from their editorial board. The wave of populism shaking Wall Street, retail investors using social media to take down short sellers. Gordon Gekko, the sharp-suited trader who came to epitomize Wall Street, famously said, "Greed is good." The army of retail investors that has flooded into shares of video game retailer GameStop has taken Mr. Gekko's advice to heart and turned it against Wall Street to great effect. The rush of money into what was an unloved stock has crushed some of the big hedge fund investors and signaled a new development in equity markets, where populism, social media, and cheap money have combined to upset the status quo. My comment, retail traders working together to take on the big guys has been talked about for more than 25 years on the internet. The planets aligned on this one. Here is a story from Bloomberg. What's the DTCC and how did it stop GameStop mania? Small investors and others watching the market gyrations around GameStop Corp and other stocks have learned a long list of trading terms, including short squeeze, call options, and gamma hedging. The decision by Robinhood Markets and other trading platforms to slam the door shut on the most volatile stocks is introducing them to two others, clearing houses and collateral requirements. They're part of Wall Street's infrastructure that are invisible, except when things get wild. My comment, sooner or later, the plumbers get thrown into any controversy. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Market manipulation is like pornography. You know it when you see it. Figuring out what's legal and illegal in the GameStop case is not going to be easy. In a 1964 decision, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart said he would not attempt to define hardcore pornography, and perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so. He famously added, "But I know it when I see it." It's kind of like that with market manipulation. What's legal and illegal is in the eye of the beholder. That will make it hard for the Securities and Exchange Commission to bring cases against the people behind the spectacular short squeeze on GameStop Corp shares. My comment, that was my description of spoofing at a CFTC roundtable about the subject. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Citadel's Griffin now is center of Reddit-fueled conspiracy theories. Amateur sleuths are finding fertile ground to fan speculation on the role the Chicago billionaire played in the Robinhood GameStop debacle. The name is a byword for power on Wall Street, but suddenly there it was in the White House briefing room too. Citadel. Given the wild stock market spectacle involving GameStop Corp, the question last week for the new press secretary was this: would Janet Yellen, now Treasury Secretary, recuse herself from the matter given the hundreds of thousands of dollars she collected in speaking fees from Citadel? Getting in the papers and it not being about $100 million real estate deals is not part of the plan. Here is a story from CNET. Rights to Wall Street Bets / GameStop movie have already been sold. One of the biggest stories of the year is barely a week old, but Hollywood is already calling. Deadline reports that MGM has snapped up the rights to a proposal for a book covering the story of the anti-establishment Redditors who trolled Wall Street, with some of the same people behind the social network involved. That sounds promising. The book, titled The Antisocial Network, comes from Ben Mezrich, the same author who wrote the book The Social Network was adapted from. Michael DeLuca was a producer on the David Fincher film, and according to Deadline, this new project will pair him with Mezrich once more. My comment, big surprise. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. Boy Scouts co-ed recruiting touched off ground war with Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts perceived a grave threat from the Boy Scouts and tried to steer parents away from co-ed programs, documents show. In May 2017, ahead of a meeting with the Boy Scouts of America top leaders, the Girl Scouts of the USA employee emailed a counterpart at Boy Scouts to ask about speculation it was considering admitting girls into the historically boys-only programs. My comment, we don't use phrases like ground war in Boy Scouts. Here are your top three most read stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story on Friday was the Houston Chronicle's San Antonio 10-year-old boy cashes in on GameStop stocks he was gifted 2 years ago. Second was the New York Times' The Roaring Kitty Rally, how a Reddit user and his friends roiled the markets. Third was the Financial Times' r/WallStreetBets throws down challenge to regulators. Pistols at dawn, anyone? This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 2nd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. I'm a bit confused by the whole silver squeeze thing, and it has brought out futures market experts like Cameron Winklevoss. Winklevoss, co-founder of the cryptocurrency firm Gemini, said on Twitter that, quote, the ramifications of a hashtag silver squeeze cannot be underestimated. If it's exposed that there are more paper claims on silver than actual silver, not only would the payoff be enormous, but gold would be next. Hashtag Bitcoin fixes this. He's right about the ramifications. There could be plenty of them, but probably not the ones he is thinking about. It has been exposed by the silver and gold proponents for many years that there are or have been more paper claims on silver than actual silver. Exposure is not enough, and the silver market is not some out-of-favor retailer stock expected to go bankrupt by a bunch of hedge funds who can't do a head count. We have seen retail traders flood the metals markets before to the point they cause systemic failure. Back in late 1999, a bunch of Y2K end-of-the-world types were following a Y2K market guru, and they were all told to buy $1,000 strike price gold calls. Gold was rallying in November, and I remember a radio announcer saying as I drove into Chicago one morning that if the rally continued, the gold market could reach $1,000 by the end of the year. It took something like 23 seconds for the gold market that morning to hit the $1,000 level. The retail traders flooded the market with orders to capture their profits, either through selling their options or selling futures against them. However, in New York, the TOPS printers went down at the COMEX and orders had to be routed to the NYBOT and run down the street. The result was absolute chaos that saw market orders come back unable. It took days to find out what should have been known on day one and before the open of day two. There was never a better example of why electronic trading was needed. The markets could not handle the growth the industry had seen and process the amount of customer paper that was being injected into the trading pits. In 2004, the Chicago Board of Trade would launch their electronic metals contracts to finally push those markets into a more efficient platform. The epic battle between the COMEX and open outcry and the CBOT and electronic trading, popularly chronicled here, would be cut short by the CME's buying of the CBOT and then selling the metals complex to NYSE Euronext. Today, they are part of ICE, and COMEX is all electronic. The silver spike even caused the acting chairman of the CFTC, Rostrin Benham, to comment on the trading in silver markets. Speaking of COMEX, a group of former COMEX and NYMEX floor brokers and traders who had been meeting in Boca Raton for lunch every year during the FIA Boca conference has decided not to meet in person this year. In 2019, they had 55 people at the lunch, including me. In 2020, they had 44, and this year, the late George Garrow will not be there to join this gathering of open outcry brothers. NASDAQ has agreed to sell its U.S. fixed income business to Tradeweb Markets. So long, eSpeed. Here are some highlights from the CME Group's January volume report. Equity Index Average Daily Volume, or ADV, grew 31% from January 2020, and CME saw record ADV of 189,000 in micro E-mini Russell 2000 futures. Overall, Micro E-mini Equity Index Futures ADV was 2.3 million contracts. The Micro E-mini futures and options represented 41% of overall equity index ADV during January 2020. Over on the agricultural side, ag futures and options ADV rose 36% from January 2020, including 89% agricultural ADV growth. The corn options ADV grew 159% from January 2020, and soybean options ADV grew 147% from January 2020. If you're looking for even more news, check out my Twitter feed. There have been no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. In a world where the retail trader is in the driver's seat, it stands to reason the exchanges, including CBOE Global Markets and CME Group Inc., would expand their mini and micro contract offerings. On Monday, CBOE announced plans to launch mini Russell 2000 index options on March 1, pending regulatory approval. This will be its third mini contract. The other two are mini VIX futures and mini S&P 500 index options. CBOE spokesman said the exchange aims to appeal to, quote, sophisticated retail traders, not amateurs. Mini Russell index options are 1/10 the size of the standard Russell 2000 index option contracts and provide exposure to the U.S. small cap equity sector. More details are available in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from today's first read section of JLN. Quantitative Brokers announces global expansion plans and the next evolution of algorithmic trading. Quantitative Brokers, a global provider of advanced execution algorithms and data-driven analytics for global futures and interest rate markets, plans to hire 20 new full-time employees in 2021. Employees will be based around the globe with particular focus on data analytics and product engineering, which will further enhance execution performance and analysis. My comment, nice to have those Deutsche Börse bucks behind you. Here is a press release from ISDA, Episode 7, Brexit, Moving to Strategic Rivalry. What has the end of the Brexit transition period meant for derivatives markets? And how will the priorities of EU and UK regulators shift now that Brexit is finally done? Are the EU and UK entering into a new era of strategic rivalry in financial services? Don Ricketts, head of financial services at Fleshman Hilliards, gives his thoughts. My comments, this is Don Ricketts, not Don Rickles. Rickles would have been funnier. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Mahomes-Brady shootout could signal roaring returns for S&P 500. Super Bowl features high-scoring offices led by former MVPs. Market has outperformed when at least 46 points are scored. Sunday Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is expected to feature fireworks from two of the NFL's top offenses. And as long as it does, history says that bodes well for U.S. stock investors. If you are long stocks, vote for a shootout. My comment, I love predictions based on quality historical research. Here's a story from National Geographic. Florida could see sea turtle baby boom thanks to pandemic. During Florida's nesting season, which runs from March through October, the sands are normally awash with humans. This year, the coronavirus pandemic severely curtailed travel and required some state jurisdictions to close their beaches for weeks. While this was a bust for sun worshippers, it may have been a boon to sea turtles. But 2020 has also been unprecedented in terms of the number of hurricanes battering the southeastern U.S. As this nesting season comes to a close, researchers share some initial findings and tips on how travelers, even grounded ones, can help protect sea turtles. My comment, the natural predator of sea turtles is the sun worshiper. Here's a story from the BBC. COVID. Insane success of goat zooms net Rosendale farm 50,000 pounds. A farmer who was half kidding when she suggested hiring out her goats for Zoom meetings during lockdown has said making 50,000 pounds show it was no joke. Dot McCarthy of Rosendale in Lancashire said that the number of people paying for Showgoat, Lola, and other to butt in on calls had been insane. Kids in a Zoom meeting is not unusual, except when they're goats. Here are your top three most read stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was why the GameStop stock frenzy is likely to end in financial crisis, an opinion piece from the South China Morning Post. Second was Bloomberg's what's the DTCC and how did it stop GameStop mania? Third was Citadel's Griffin, now at the center of Reddit-fueled conspiracy theories, from Crane Chicago Business. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 3rd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Congratulations to the CME Group's Executive Chairman and CEO, Terry Duffy, and his team on the completion of the migration of BrokerTec to CME's Globex trading platform. This has been a goal of the industry for a long time, and it is now complete. The Legal Eagle YouTube channel has a great explanation of the entire GameStop stock story and the legal ramifications of it. It is worth checking out. You can find a link for this in today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. This weekend, John Lothian News will be migrating MarketsWiki to a new hosting company featuring a more cloud-like solution. Currently, MarketsWiki is running on a single platform hosted by Cordero. We recently moved johnlothiannews.com to this new hosting company and are very pleased with the results so far. Kansas City Chief players tested positive for coronavirus after having received a haircut from a barber who had the virus. The Super Bowl is this Sunday. Later this morning, we will be publishing a column I wrote about all the ways I have traded futures. Check it out on johnlothiannews.com. Today, we will publish a video for the Path to Electronic Trading series featuring CBOE Executive Chairman and CEO Ed Tilley. The interview was conducted by JLN's Suzanne Cosgrove. Tomorrow, we will be publishing an interview for the Path to Electronic Trading video series featuring John Vanderbleek, formerly of the CME and CBOT, who led the first overnight trading desk for Project A at the CBOT and was involved in many of the CBOT's efforts to improve the efficiency of the trading floor and deploy electronic trading platforms. You will enjoy both videos. We've had no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here is the press release from the CME about the migration of BrokerTec. CME Group completes migration of BrokerTec trading platform to CME Globex. CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace, today announced that BrokerTec, a leading provider of electronic trading platforms and technology services in fixed income markets, has migrated its U.S. Treasuries benchmark trading and U.S. repo platform to CME Globex. This follows the integration of BrokerTec's EU government bond and repo markets in January. My comment, it's a dream come true. Here is a press release from IEX, D-Limit. One of these things is not like the others, from Ronan Ryan. Initial data shows differentiated performance in D-Limit trading. With the nonstop headlines on the growth of off-exchange trading and the record percentage of overall volume on the TRF displayed on exchange, markets are at an innovation crossroads. My comment, I am a big fan of D-Limit, if you recall. Here is a story from the New York Times. Robinhood's CEO is in the hot seat. Vlad Tenev has incited a fury of trading app fans amid a stock market frenzy. His lack of preparedness on nuts and bolts issues was part of a pattern, former employees and analysts said. Vlad Tenev, the chief executive of the online brokerage Robinhood, has had a practice of doing damage control. Last March, he told customers that, quote, "We owe it to you to do better," unquote, after Robinhood's app suffered lengthy outages, leaving many people unable to trade. My comment, sometimes founders need to be replaced. Here is a story from Washington State University News. Big name corporations more likely to commit fraud. Fortune 500 firms with strong growth profiles are more susceptible to, quote, cooking the books than smaller, struggling companies, according to a recent study published in Justice Quarterly. Researchers from Washington State University, Penn State University, and Miami University examined the characteristics of more than 250 U.S. public corporations that were involved in financial securities fraud identified in securities and exchange filings from 2005 to 2013. They were then compared to a control sample of firms that were not named in SEC filings. Clear trends emerged in the risk of fraud, including corporations that were listed in the Fortune 500, traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and had strong growth expectations. My comment, smaller companies have fewer books to cook, making it harder to hide the fraudulent feast. Here are the top three most read stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our most read story Tuesday was the Financial Times' NASDAQ agrees to sell U.S. Treasuries trading business to Tradeweb for $190 million, which, if you say it out loud, is a bit of a tongue twister. Also, a big loss for NASDAQ on its original eSpeed purchase. Second was NASDAQ's press release on the same. NASDAQ agrees to sell U.S. fixed income business to Tradeweb Markets. Third was Bloomberg's "There's a plan to bring sports gambling to the futures markets." This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 1st, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story by Tom Thompson of JLN. CBD prices languish as KSU studies using hemp in feed. It has been quiet lately in hemp country, which, since the 2018 Farm Act, of course, includes all 50 states. In fact, industrial hemp plantings were reported to the USDA's Farm Service Agency by farmers in 48 states in 2020. Alaska and Mississippi didn't come to the party. Panax's January 2021 hemp benchmarks and analysis data show that prices for hemp at various stages of processing for CBD continue to soften, while both conventional and organic hemp grain prices rose 10% and 2% respectively over the month as consumers pay the market for storage as they would with other grain crops. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. John J. Lothian and Company applied for a second draw in the PPP program under the CARES Act and was approved for the funds. They arrived in our bank account this morning. Thank you to Congress and for this support of small businesses like ours. The bank JJL Co. uses is U.S. Bank. They provided an easy-to-use process to apply for and receive the forgivable loan. Thank you also to our Head of Administration and Finance, Nancy Ashburn, who has been keeping on top of the latest nuances of the PPP program for us and her other clients. In support of U.S. Bank's effort, I have placed an order in my IRA account to buy some U.S. Bank shares. This is something that I've been looking to do for some time. We've had no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. We've had 119 donations so far and are just short of 10% of our $300,000 goal. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The spread, game over, our weekly look at the options business. this week, one company's stocks skyrocketed due to the coordinated trading of retail investors. And for once, I'm not talking about Tesla. Momentum trading is when investors buy stocks whose prices are actively rising and sell them when they think the stocks have peaked. This happened with Tesla stock more often than not last year. The most recent case of runaway momentum trading is GameStop, a large entertainment retailer that makes most of its money selling used video games and pre-orders for upcoming games. This week's users in investment communities on Reddit, like Wall Street Bets, bought shares and tons of options on struggling companies like GameStop, causing GameStop's stock value to skyrocket and post year-to-date gains exceeding more than 1,700%. This resulted in market volatility that caused major losses across the board for a lot of hedge funds who had been short sellers of the stocks. To watch this The Spread video, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. NASDAQ tech chief credits cloud with helping manage market frenzies. Cloud-based computing capacity helps the exchange quickly adjust to wild market swings. NASDAQ Inc.'s enterprise technology leader said an aggressive cloud strategy that proved its mettle during the pandemic helped gird the exchange's operating systems for shocks like this week's market turmoil. Brad Peterson, the exchange's operators executive vice president and chief technology and information officer, said the company used prior peaks in trading activity as benchmarks to ensure it had enough computing capacity in its own data centers to handle sharp swings in demand. My comment, I love it when a plan comes together. Here's a story from the Financial Times. This is an editorial from their editorial board. The wave of populism shaking Wall Street, retail investors using social media to take down short sellers. Gordon Gekko, the sharp-suited trader who came to epitomize Wall Street, famously said, "Greed is good." The army of retail investors that has flooded into shares of video game retailer GameStop has taken Mr. Gekko's advice to heart and turned it against Wall Street to great effect. The rush of money into what was an unloved stock has crushed some of the big hedge fund investors and signaled a new development in equity markets, where populism, social media, and cheap money have combined to upset the status quo. My comment, retail traders working together to take on the big guys has been talked about for more than 25 years on the internet. The planets aligned on this one. Here is a story from Bloomberg. What's the DTCC and how did it stop GameStop mania? Small investors and others watching the market gyrations around GameStop Corp and other stocks have learned a long list of trading terms, including short squeeze, call options, and gamma hedging. The decision by Robinhood Markets and other trading platforms to slam the door shut on the most volatile stocks is introducing them to two others, clearing houses and collateral requirements. They're part of Wall Street's infrastructure that are invisible except when things get wild. My comment, sooner or later the plumbers get thrown into any controversy. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Market manipulation is like pornography. You know it when you see it. Figuring out what's legal and illegal in the GameStop case is not going to be easy. In a 1964 decision, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart said he would not attempt to define hardcore pornography, and perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so. He famously added, "But I know it when I see it." It's kind of like that with market manipulation. What's legal and illegal is in the eye of the beholder. That will make it hard for the Securities and Exchange Commission to bring cases against the people behind the spectacular short squeeze on GameStop Corp shares. My comment, that was my description of spoofing at a CFTC roundtable about the subject. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Citadel's Griffin now at center of Reddit-fueled conspiracy theories. Amateur sleuths are finding fertile ground to fan speculation on the role the Chicago billionaire played in the Robinhood GameStop debacle. The name is a byword for power on Wall Street, but suddenly there it was in the White House briefing room too, Citadel. Given the wild stock market spectacle involving GameStop Corp, the question last week for the new press secretary was this: would Janet Yellen, now Treasury Secretary, recuse herself from the matter given the hundreds of thousands of dollars she collected in speaking fees from Citadel? Getting in the papers and it not being about $100 million real estate deals is not part of the plan. Here is a story from CNET. Rights to Wall Street Bets / GameStop movie have already been sold. One of the biggest stories of the year is barely a week old, but Hollywood is already calling. Deadline reports that MGM has snapped up the rights to a proposal for a book covering the story of the anti-establishment Redditors who trolled Wall Street, with some of the same people behind the social network involved. That sounds promising. The book, titled The Anti-Social Network, comes from Ben Mezrich, the same author who wrote the book The Social Network was adapted from. Michael DeLuca was a producer on the David Fincher film, and according to Deadline, this new project will pair him with Mezrich once more. My comment, big surprise. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. Boy Scouts co-ed recruiting touched off ground war with Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts perceived a grave threat from the Boy Scouts and tried to steer parents away from co-ed programs, documents show. In May 2017, ahead of a meeting with the Boy Scouts of America top leaders, the Girl Scouts of the USA employee emailed a counterpart at Boy Scouts to ask about speculation it was considering admitting girls into the historically boys-only programs. My comment, we don't use phrases like ground war in Boy Scouts. Here are your top three most read stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story on Friday was the Houston Chronicle's San Antonio 10-year-old boy cashes in on GameStop stocks he was gifted 2 years ago. Second was the New York Times' The Roaring Kitty Rally, how a Reddit user and his friends roiled the markets. Third was the Financial Times / Wall Street Bets throws down challenge to regulators. Pistols at dawn, anyone? This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 5th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the stories and comments from the hits and takes section. The law firm of Vinson and Elkins has appointed Alan Schoenberg as Global Director of Public Relations and Corporate Affairs. Schoenberg was most recently Senior Vice President, Corporate Communications and Social Media for NASDAQ. This is a big forward-looking move for Schoenberg, getting into the law firm commodity energy space as the world moves towards more green energy. It is a big step for Vinson and Elkins to hire one of the leading corporate communications and social media visionaries to help them emerge from the law practice pack. Congratulations to Alan on his new job. We wish you the best. And to our friends at NASDAQ, he has left you an incredible legacy to continue. Longtime industry lawyer Paul Buscher Ulanop passed away on January 30, 2021 at the age of 84. His obituary is posted in today's newsletter, one from Donnellan Funeral Home and one from his former law firm, Lawrence Kamen. The Intercontinental Exchange, known informally as ICE, has secured the ICE.com website and will move email addresses to ICE.com from theice.com on March 1st, 2021. They announced in an email from a theice.com email address. www.ice.com is already up and running. Speaking of ICE, FOW has a headline and a story, ICE to retain 65% interest in BACT, according to Jeff Sprecher. The CME has issued a press release with the names of the slate of director nominees, led by Terry Duffy. CME Group also has a webinar to teach people about their new Ether contract titled Getting Started with Ether Futures. The webinar will be led by CME Group Director of Education, David Lehrman, who will review the fundamentals behind the contract, different Ether futures trading examples, and recent Ether price action. In addition, Lehrman will cover the evolution of institutional participation in the cryptocurrency market and the Ether investor ecosystem. The webinar is on February 18th, 2021 at 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can get additional information at events at CME Group. The FT's U.S. investment editor, Michael McKenzie, has a commentary in today's newspaper titled, "Beware the Madness of Markets. From Tulips to GameStop, retail investors usually end up losers in speculative boom." McKenzie, a former derivatives broker for Tullett and Tokyo in Hong Kong, London, Toronto, New York, and Tokyo, writes that, quote, "Siren call of minting fabulous riches from the tap of a share trading app recalls past speculative manias down the ages that all ended badly, misallocating capital, wiping out savings, and scarring investors." SGX has issued this notice on their website at February 5th, 2021 at 6:55 p.m., please be informed that due to website maintenance, there will be intermittent access to our website from 8 a.m. on February 6th, 2021 to 8 p.m. on February 7th, 2021. We apologize for any inconvenience caused. The Wall Street Journal has a story about the Super Bowl commercials and has an early look at some we will see during Sunday's game. The lemon of the year from Budweiser is my early winner, though M&M's has a couple of strong ones too. We've had three new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Michael Shore, Scott Eisner, and Robert Schaefer donated to our efforts to preserve industry history. Michael Shore is the Executive Director of Communications for the OCC, home of many JLN supporters. Michael is a former CME Group communications professional who has also had stops at Magnetar Capital, William Blair, and Motorola Solutions. Scott Eisner is a longtime industry executive I first encountered when he was CFO at Gerald Commodities, where I was a broker. Scott was also the COO of Iowa Grain and CFO of Haymeyer Plus Trading Plus Investments. Robert is a veteran metals trader and a member of COMEX since 1987. He successfully moved to become a screen trader in 2006. Thank you to Michael, Scott, and Robert, and to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Sarah Rudolph reports NASDAQ chief economist Phil McIntosh's latest column is the timely How Short Selling Works, which answers questions such as, how can a stock be more than 100% shorted? You can read the column here in today's newsletter. Also, Suzanne Cosgrove says next week's Cboe's Options Institute webinar on trading strategies using mini index futures and options is apparently a hot ticket. CBOE's Matt Moran says 350 people have already signed up for the February 10th event. A registration link is available in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video in the Path to Electronic Trading series. This one, an interview of John Vanderbleek. John Vanderbleek got his start in the markets after working for a hospital part-time, with someone later hired at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange as an employment manager. He began as a price reporter at the CME, and the minute he saw the trading floor, he knew is where he wanted to be, and he gave up his aspirations for law school. After working for the CME, he tried his hand at trading there in the S&P pit with his own money. That did not work out as well as he hoped. The rest of this story and the video is available on johnlothiannews.com. Don't forget to register for the FIA Boca Conference at fia.org. This year, it's a virtual conference. Here's a story from Bloomberg, how a dated cyber attack brought a stock exchange to its knees. DDoS attacks, the cyber equivalent of being mugged, grew in size and sophistication. The website of the New Zealand Stock Exchange slowed to a crawl on a Tuesday afternoon in August. It was so badly throttled that the exchange couldn't post market announcements as required by financial regulators. So with an hour left for trading, management shut the entire operation down. It didn't take long to figure out what happened. The website had been overwhelmed by a tsunami of offshore digital traffic. An email from the perpetrators made clear that it was a malicious attack. My comment, be prepared. Prepared for what? For any old thing. Here's a story from the FT. Wall Street firms paid almost $3 billion last year for retail brokers' trades. Payment for order flow attracts attention of lawmakers and regulators in Washington. Wall Street trading firms paid almost $3 billion to retail traders such as Robinhood to handle their trades last year, a practice that is attracting rising scrutiny in Washington. Monthly regulatory filings collated by Bloomberg show payment for order flow earned U.S. brokers $2.9 billion in 2020. TD Ameritrade generated fees of $1.1 billion between its broker-dealer and clearing divisions, while Robinhood grew fastest, earning fees of almost $700 million. My comment, follow the money. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal as well. How to make sense of GameStop. The internet turns to beer and puppets. The Reddit-fueled market frenzy has inspired a flurry of TikTok videos, memes, and online explainers. To help explain the complexity of the GameStop market frenzy, Brianna Parkins turned to two tall cans of Guinness, a sad-looking gray dog puppet, and a pile of candy. In her series of short TikTok explainers, Ms. Parkins cast the puppet as a hedge fund manager looking to short a can of Guinness, reaping profits that would be the candy along the way. A white plaster statue enters the scene representing the popular Reddit forum Wall Street Bets and buys up not one but two cans of Guinness. This is bad news for your hedge fund, she says, waving the puppet to the camera. My comment, they had me at beer. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Reddit revolt makes St. Petersburg Bourse Russia's busiest. Volumes on SPB hit $36 billion in January amid GameStop mania. Russians piled into Reddit targets among 1,500 securities. A stock exchange founded in Russian President Vladimir Putin's hometown just became the busiest venue for equity trading in the country, thanks in part to last week's retail trader frenzy in the U.S. Stock volumes on the St. Petersburg Exchange, which lets investors buy and sell foreign shares directly via their Russian brokerage accounts, surpassed those of the Moscow Exchange for the first time on record last month. Trading on the SPB, as it's known, climbed 14% in January to $36.1 billion. The Moscow Exchange, which focuses on Russian securities, saw the equivalent of $30.2 billion change hands. My comment, follow the money. Here's a story from Brad Rosen of Jim Hamilton's World of Securities Regulation. Commentary and musings on the complex, fascinating, and peculiar world that is securities regulation. On the Biden administration's first full day in office, the members of the CFTC elected Commissioner Rossen Benham as acting chairman, effective immediately. Benham, who was the longest-serving commissioner affiliated with the Democratic Party, began his term on September 8, 2017. It expires on June 19, 2021. Despite a change in power in Washington, D.C., the Republican commissioners will continue to maintain a 3-2 edge at the CFTC until such time a third Democrat is nominated and confirmed by the Senate, be that a permanent chairman or another commissioner. My comment, Here's the press release from Vincent and Elkins. Vincent N. Elkins appoints Alan Schoenberg as Global Director of Public Relations and Corporate Affairs. Vincent N. Elkins today announced that Alan Schoenberg has joined the firm as Global Director of Public Relations and Corporate Affairs. Schoenberg, who brings 30 years of marketing and communications experience to the role, will work closely with the firm leadership to develop and implement strategic public relations initiatives to increase market prominence for the firm's brand. He will also be responsible for various internal and external communications regarding key client activities, firm and community initiatives, and attorney developments and achievements. Schoenberg most recently served as Senior Vice President, Corporate Communications and Social Media for NASDAQ. My comment, Alan Schoenberg was the person who pushed for me to get onto Twitter. He helped us organize the first Twitter panel for the industry, and that led to the industry getting on Twitter. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was my story, John Lothian, a futures trader's confession. Second was the Vermiculous announcement, the first microservices-based clearing system with AI capabilities. Third was the Financial Times, the Robinhood drama, teaches us to look beneath the surface. Your crypto markets wiki coin of the week is Uniswap. Uniswap is outperforming other decentralized or DEX exchanges, according to Dun Analytics. The DEX market analytics company in January 2021, the total trading volume on DEX reached an all-time high of over $50 billion in digital assets traded. Uniswap accounted for 48.8% of total transaction on DEXs. Its governance token, UNI, or UNI, exceeded the previous all-time high on January 1st, 2021. Here are your MarketsWiki statistics of the day. The site now has 199,576,347 pages viewed, with 25,331 pages in the site. There have been 229,994 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps more listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.